You're listening to the Jason Greger Show, presented by PlayAlberta.ca. Right now, use promo code SPORTS20. That's promo code SPORTS20 to get a free $20 bet at PlayAlberta.ca. I want to get an update, of course. Over the weekend, it was announced that Josh Archibald has myocarditis, supposedly got COVID over the summer, and obviously maybe wasn't that severe, or he didn't tell anyone about it, or maybe he didn't even know he had it, who knows. But either way, now, he came to Edmonton, and he was quarantining as he crossed the border, and then about a week ago, he started feeling bad, and now it's worse, and now he got diagnosed with this. So could you give us a kind of a breakdown on, like, kind of what's in store? What's the different levels of severity when it comes to myocarditis for athletes and the inflammation of the heart?
Yeah, so I mean, I'll technically speak more to the activity of an athlete. I'll leave the actual what's going on with the heart to the cardiologist. But it's an inflammation, and it does take quite some time for the heart to rest and recover. Because long after the virus, for instance, in this case has gone away, there is typically a good 3 to 6 month period of recovery for the heart. And so exercise and activity during that time has to be done very carefully. There's obviously issues around that. So when we have an athlete, we're going to be very careful to watch the recovery, especially as it pertains to their heart function.
So how would, like, we've had some people, I have no answer to this. So is there a way to, like, can you rehab it, or is it just all rest?
It's a lot of rest. A lot of rest, because really that's the course of action. Any strenuous physical activity can actually increase the inflammatory response, and it can cause further damage. So rest is really key. And then reintroduction of exercise at the right time, again, when all those other markers that the cardiologist would be following are in line. And so, unfortunately, there's a lot of weight and patience with these in order for the, in this case, professional athlete to get a strong recovery, because there's risk when we're dealing with the heart, obviously, and long-term implications.
So your understanding of myocarditis, is it that he might, because we know Alex Stalock, because people are like, well, Alex Stalock played in the Beauty League this summer. Well, the Beauty League's about 80%, you know, compared to the NHL as far as pace goes. So then obviously the harder you have to work, the more your heart has to work. So for myocarditis, does the average person, can you function? It's just elite level athletes, when you're maximizing, your cardiovascular, that's where the danger is going to come in?
No, I think the danger, again, I'm going to leave a lot of this to the cardiologist, but a lot of the danger is in damage to the heart when you're exercising it at the wrong time, and the risk of increasing or furthering the inflammation over a period of time can lead to permanent damage. And so, everybody's going to recover at a different stage, and it's all got to be followed and closely monitored by the medical profession in order to do it right, because we don't want lasting implications of this. So whilst one person might have recovered to the point where the cardiologist said, yeah, you're ready to go, and that inflammation is no longer a big risk to you, then that's them, but it's not everybody. And whether you're, average Joe, we'll actually know, we'll have issues when they're trying to, basically when they're exerting themselves, they will definitely feel it and be short of breath, show symptoms of fatigue and those sort of things.
Now, today, I did want to appreciate that, Grant. We wanted to focus a little bit more on cognitive training, because or cognitive therapy, whatever we want to call it, and how it's a big one nowadays, and how that kind of coexists with the physical side.
Yeah, and what I wanted to talk about, and I thought it's important for people to know, with those people who suffered a brain injury, traumatic or otherwise, acquired. And so traumatically, the most common one we would think of with athletes is obviously somebody that has a concussion. But they can be acquired from stroke and other types of issues that do damage brain tissue. And what people think of is in the brain, they don't realize it's a lot. I already use a comparison like the knee. Once the knee is healed and you've sustained major damage to the knee, there's still a period of time when it's got to learn how to do things again. Just because it's recovered from a healing standpoint doesn't mean that the knee is going to straighten and bend all the way. It doesn't mean that it's going to have the strength. And the brain acts similar. It just demonstrates different dysfunction. So memory, those kind of things that we talk about, ability to focus, to pay attention to detail, to stare at a screen, can have even emotions will be affected. Anything that the brain functions to do is going to have an effect after that kind of an injury. And so it's really important, those people who've suffered from a concussion, for instance, that that portion is addressed as well. So we do treat patients that have got acquired brain injuries, and we've got patients from trauma like concussion.
And it's one, so when we have to rehab a muscle, do you have, rehabbing the brain is similar, is it not?
Yeah, you know, it's not far away from a similar thing. So what we do instead is we focus on what are the tasks. So if we're focusing, for instance, on the treatment of a knee, the task that it has to do is straighten, bend, strengthen, be able to exert itself forcefully. The brain's a little bit different. So the training is more along the lines of what you would do with somebody who's got those other things. So we do pencil tasks, exams, paper tasks, computer tasks, different things to get the brain to start to function in that way. So we focus on those kind of tasks when we're doing recovery, of cognitive kind of recovery.
Okay. And so when you're, because you've done this sort of stuff, you know, you kind of mixed in with Leading Edge where they're, you know, you're repairing the brain. Because if, in order to get your brain recovered sometimes, you have to do simple, basic physical movements, do you not?
Well, so then there's another thing. So in order to, for instance, after recovery, let's say somebody's got difficulty focusing. And part of that focus means that they're taking a pass from another player, for instance, if we're talking about hockey. Yes, in fact, we need to train that brain through processes what we call neuroplasticity. The brain can create new synapses and new abilities to relearn what it lost, and it needs to be trained in that way. So there is a physical component, absolutely, but it's linked to that focus or concentration or speed of play and reactivity. So it's a little bit different than just the body, the way that the body might respond. It's more, think like, how is the brain going to respond to that activity? And that's how we have to focus the patient.
Okay. Has the brain, like, how much has that advanced, really, when you come to brain therapy, cognitive therapy in the last 10 years, or maybe even 15 from when you started till now? I have to think that might have been one of the biggest improvements we've seen.
I definitely know that that's an area of importance that was neglected, that's for sure. It's an area that was never thought of in the same way that it is now. And some of our treatments absolutely have advanced. We have computer programs that can detect certain cognitive delays or cognitive dysfunction. And then we can use those same computer programs actually to challenge the brain in a way that's going to help them to relearn that cognitive process. So yes, there's been a huge advancement in the area. But a lot of these techniques that we're using are from other techniques that we use with patients that suffered stroke or other brain injuries in the past. We're now applying them to those that are having difficulty, like, for instance, with patients that have had a concussion.
All right. Grant, I appreciate it, man. Thanks for this. Are you golfing today?
Yeah, I'm going to be. Absolutely. I'm actually outside waiting for it all to get going, which is probably why you hear a little yard noise, but I have a focus, and that focus is making sure people know how they can get back to life. So we'll put that first.
Nice. Well, that's good. And, hey, just good news that I think you could have a good round today. You want to know why?
Tell me.
Because the Giants and the Jets won a game on the same day. So if they can win on the same day, Grant, you could golf well.
Well, you know, the Cowboys won yesterday, and as you know, Strudge and I have a bitter rivalry with him being a Giants fan. So
yeah.
I think I'm winning this battle this year. So.
Oh, yeah, that's an easy bet. That would be an easy bet for sure. Grant, thanks for this, man. We'll talk to you again soon.
Okay, Jason, take care.